The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
Today on Unsigned, I cover the top 25 in college football, boxing news, the NFL regular season kickoff, and my pigskin pick'ems, the top movies at the box office, upcoming movies to look forward to, and the home stretch of Major League Baseball. All this and much, much more, only on Unsigned. Hey everybody, how's it going? We're back on the air live. This is Ryan with Unsigned. Yeah, I missed you last week. We had to take a little sabbatical, take a little time to recharge the batteries. Of course, Labor Day weekend was just this past weekend. Hopefully everybody had a nice Labor Day. I'll tell you what, I'm in Tennessee, as most of our listeners know. And here in Tennessee, it's been hot. And what I mean by hot, I mean it hasn't rained. And it's been an average of above 95 degrees or above for about 30 days. So hot and dry. Now, coming into yesterday, or late Saturday night, we were 2 inches of water below the average rain intake that we usually get in the Tennessee area. After today, we're actually 2 to 3 inches over right now in some areas. That tells you how much it has rained in the last 2 days here. So, Labor Day, we were at 103 degrees on Friday afternoon. All of a sudden, you know, come Saturday into Sunday, we went from like 103 degrees down to the mid-60s. Yeah. Hello, fall. How are you? Hey, got a lot of big things getting into tonight. College football kicked off. We're going to lead off with that tonight. And really a lot of great games. And we'll jump right into it, and we'll do the top 25 right from the get-go. We'll start with number 25, West Virginia, taking on in-state rival Marshall. No surprise here, West Virginia gets the W 34-13. Now, number 24, USC, the Trojans, against the Minnesota Golden Gophers. Lane Kiffin and the Trojans, they struggled really against the Golden Gophers team coming in, which really is a shock. Minnesota, it's really was even in this game. New coach in Minnesota, Jerry Kill, really looks to have that program point in the right direction, and a very strong showing for the Golden Gophers against USC. And you have to wonder, you know, a couple of years ago, if Minnesota would have went out and played USC under the old regime, you know, before the suspensions and all those things, they probably would have got blown out by 30. 19-17, Minnesota had a chance to win that game. Interception at the end seals it. Now you look at speaking of near upsets, number 23 Auburn scores 42. Utah State scores 38. The defending champions find themselves down 10 points with 4 minutes to go and somehow break the hearts of Utah State. This is not the same Tigers team that we saw last year in any shape or form. And if the way they played against Utah State, they gave up 38 points to Utah State, the defending champs. If this is any indication how they're going to play, this is going to be a long, long season in the SEC for the War Eagle. Ka-ka, ka-ka. I guess they didn't have they spent so much money on Cam Newton, they couldn't afford any players this year. Number 22, Florida, taking on Florida International. This no contest, no surprise, 41-3 in favor of Florida. New coach Will Muschamp and his Gators look to keep the winning streak alive in Gainesville. Nice showing. 41 points on Florida International. You look at number 21, the Missouri Tigers taking on Miami of Ohio. 17-6 in favor of the Missouri Tigers. Quarterback James Franklin is trying to fill big shoes of Blaine Gabbert, who was drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars in the NFL draft this past April. Now, the Tigers, again, a lot of people think they are a serious threat and a dark horse to win the Big 12. They struggled against Miami of Ohio. I'd say it's more growing pains. But Missouri has a matchup against powerhouse Oklahoma on September the 24th. That's going to answer a lot about the Missouri Tigers and their BCS hopes. Moving on, number 20, Mississippi State, a team I think is going to be very solid in the SEC, taking on Memphis. Vic Ballard, Mississippi State, came under some controversy when he tweeted that he would end up on a crime show for murdering Memphis. Well, Ballard didn't end up on CSI anytime soon, but the Memphis defense should definitely be on a milk carton, no doubt about it. Ballard finished the game with 166 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. He only carried the ball 10 times. The Mississippi State Bulldogs set a school record for 645 total yards, and Coach Dan Mullen said, "I love these big plays." Now, whether or not the Bulldogs can hold up against a very tough SEC West, 5 out of the 6 teams in that division are ranked in the top 25. A marquee matchup Saturday night, the Georgia Bulldogs and their Mighty Morphin Power Ranger outfits, uniforms, taking on the Boise State Broncos. This, again, was a primetime game Saturday night. It took place at the Georgia Dome. The Bulldogs, who really have high expectations to win the SEC East this year, take on the Boise State Broncos. This just in, the Boise State Broncos are a pretty damn good football team. They proved it last year. I think they're better this year than they were last year. A really heavy, senior-laden team. And they really dominated this game for most of the contest against Georgia. I really think that if Boise State goes undefeated and runs the table, I don't see how you keep them out of a national title picture. I really don't. They looked the part. That ball club looked really, really good. Now, with all that being said, Boise quarterback Kellen Moore, who is only 7 games away from breaking former Texas quarterback Colt McCoy's record for most wins in college football history. If the seat for the Georgia head coach Mark Rich was not warm before Saturday night, it is definitely getting hot now. And if they lose against the South Carolina Gamecocks next week and start 0-2, that seat is going to get very, very hot in Georgia. The Bulldogs expect to win. Their fans expect to win. They have a long tradition there. And I tell you what, their plan was to win the SEC East, and it starts next week. If they don't beat South Carolina, they start 0-2. There's going to be rumor of Mark Rick being out in Georgia. I have no doubt about that. Moving on here with college football tonight. And we start with the Ohio State. Everybody knows I'm an Ohio State Buckeye fan. They take on the University of Akron, the Zips. In an offseason that has really been filled with off-the-field ridicule and tattoo gate and all those things, the Buckeyes look very, very sharp. The silver bullet defense only allowed 90 total yards in the game. Now, granted, it was against Akron, but you look at these other teams. They're playing cream puffs as well. Only allowing 90 total yards. Freshman Evan Spencer had one of the best catches you're ever going to see. Unfortunately, ESPN didn't play it. This kid had a one-handed catch out of nowhere. It looked like Randy Moss catching this thing. It was 21-0 at halftime, and Coach Lou Holtz calling Mark May an idiot for ripping Ohio State for not scoring more in the first half was priceless. Coach Luke Fickell, in his debut at the Shoe, was a success with 8 key players out, and the young Buckeyes showed up to play. I'll tell you what, don't be surprised if the Buckeyes continue their Big Ten dominance, and they move up in the polls, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Moving to number 17, Michigan State taking on Youngstown State, 28-6 over Youngstown State, coming off their humbling beatdown from Alabama in the bowl game last season. Michigan State looks to seize a BCS berth out of the Big Ten. They've got a very, very tough road with Ohio State, Nebraska, Iowa, and Northwestern all on the schedule. Afraid it may be too much for them to overcome. And we also look at the University of Notre Dame taking on South Florida. The expectations were really high for Notre Dame this year, and the rain came down, and so did their expectations. The Irish marched the length of the field, their very first drive of the game. They fumble the ball on the 2-yard line. It's picked up by South Florida's defense had run back the other way for a touchdown, and they never looked back. Now, this game was interesting because they had over 3 hours of weather delays due to lightning. Mother Nature, I guess it was Mother Nature's way of saying uncle for the Irish. They had 5 turnovers. 3 of them came within their own 20-yard line. Notre Dame will head to the Big House of Michigan next week for a chance to right the ship. A lot of people were making note of Coach Kelly at Notre Dame really losing his cool and barking at players and yelling at players and screaming at players. I tell you what, as bad as they played, I'm not surprised that he lost his cool in that game with the weather delays and everything that went on. Notre Dame did not look sharp. They have a very tough schedule. The expectations, again, were very, very high. I think they have a lot of talent on that team, just a matter of getting it pointing in the right direction. They should have won this game easily, but the turnovers just killed them. Arkansas, number 15 in the country, playing Missouri State. They ended up winning that game 51-7. The Hogs are looking to repeat last year's BCS bid under Coach Paterno's offense, and the Razorbacks, they are not to be taken lightly in the SEC, no doubt about it. Moving on, I think of the game of the week, probably the most thrilling game, Number 14, TCU 48 against the Baylor Bears 50. A game that featured not a whole lot of defense for the defending Rose Bowl champions from a year ago. And the Baylor Bears dropping 50, and they hold out for the win. TCU made a run at it, scoring three touchdowns in the fourth quarter, came roaring back, but the Baylor Bears would hang on. And they're the big story. Big talk of Baylor. Everyone thought they were going to really be it next year. I think maybe this is the year that they make some noise and get into a high bowl and get into that top 25 ranking. Number 13, Virginia Tech, 66. Appalachian State, 13. Frank Beamer's Hokies, again, pretty much exactly what you would expect from Frank Beamer's team. Strong defense, solid balance on offense, and they looked at a long season and have a conference championship in their sights. And you look at the South Carolina Gamecocks, number 12 in the rankings, playing East Carolina, 56-37. Now, the Gamecocks made this interesting because starting quarterback Steven Garcia did not come in until the Gamecocks were down 17-0 to East Carolina. The battle for the SEC, again, the SEC East begins next week. They take on those Georgia Bulldogs. I look for the Gamecocks to put the dirt on the Bulldogs. Give that dog some water in Georgia because they're going down. I think that ship is sinking, and I think the Gamecocks are game. Now we head into the getting close to the top 10. We have the Wisconsin Badgers right now at number 11. They play UNLV kicking off the season Thursday night, and the Wisconsin Badgers beat up on UNLV 51-17. The Badgers' formula is really simple. Run the ball, play action pass, run the ball, play solid defense. It remains to be seen if the defense is as good as it was last year, losing seniors like J.J. Watt and also new quarterback as well. But again, if that defense can prove to be the turnover machine that they were, I think another Rose Bowl bid is not out of the question. And if they can run the table, national title appearance as well. Now we head into number 10, Nebraska, joining the Big Ten this year for the very first time. They score 40 points over Chattanooga, who scored 7. Again, new to the Big Ten and loaded with talent on both sides of the ball, no question about it. They have a very, very hard road. Welcome to the Big Ten starting October 1st. They go to Wisconsin and play. And then the very next week in Lincoln, they play Ohio State and then Michigan State and Iowa. And then they have to travel to Penn State and they have to travel to the Big House in Michigan. Not an easy road for Nebraska. Again, welcome to the Big Ten, Cornhuskers. Number 9, Oklahoma State 61 against Lafayette 34. Oklahoma State, high-powered offense, and don't be shocked if they're right there in the top 10 when the season comes to a close. Number 8, Texas A&M, a bunch of controversy about them heading to the SEC or even the Pac-12, leaving the Big 12 holding the bag. A&M, again, other than the big news, they look very, very good. Look for them to make some noise in the Big 12. Number 7, Stanford scores 57 against San Diego State. Andrew Luck, who is the best quarterback in the country, no doubt about it, will lead the charge for the Stanford tree. They have a different coach. The formula is the same. They play strong defense. They run a pro-style offense and makes this team a real threat and could be in title talk come January. Number 6, Florida State, 34. Monroe, 0. High expectations in Tallahassee. And I tell you what, they have a big game, which really could be the game of the year coming up September 17th. Mark that on your calendar. The Oklahoma Sooners are coming to Tallahassee to play Florida State. So number 1, Oklahoma versus number 6, Florida State, September 17th. That is really going to set the tone, one, for the national title in the BCS appearance, and also really set the tone for Florida State as they get into ACC play. Moving on here, this is Ryan on Unsigned. Again, thanks for hanging out with me. I appreciate it. Covering college football right now in the top 25. Again, isn't it great to have college football back? Gotta love it, man. Now, one of the other feature games Saturday night was last year's Oregon Ducks. They played in the national title game. Number 3 going in against number 4 LSU, playing in Jerry World in Dallas at that big stadium, big beautiful stadium there. And I tell you what, this matchup, LSU looked unbelievable. They looked the part. They looked very good. They are loaded on both sides of the football. The speed they have on defense is unbelievable. They are all over, I mean, all over the Oregon Ducks. And it's really going to be hard to pick a winner of the SEC West. I think it's a coin flip between Alabama and the Mighty Ducks. I really do. I say whoever wins that game between Alabama and LSU is probably going to win the SEC West. But I tell you what, LSU, they ran all over. I mean, all over the Oregon Ducks. I mean, the Oregon Ducks got a mercy touchdown late in that game in the fourth quarter, but they're really missing that front seven defense that was led by Casey Matthews last year, who's now with the Philadelphia Eagles. Really missing him. They really wore down that front seven, LSU did, and just pounded the ball. They had two guys nearing the 100-yard mark. So, again, very good stuff over the weekend. And look for more coming next week. And a lot of big marquee matchups. And, of course, Oklahoma, they roll big time. They stay at number one. Now, here's your top 25 as it stands right now. Currently, the polls come out today. TCU at number 25. They were previously 14. The University of Texas breaks into the top 25 at number 24. Penn State at 23. Big showdown at Happy Valley. Alabama coming to town. Mark down your calendar. That should be the game of the week. This coming Saturday, Penn State and Alabama. South Florida with their upset over Notre Dame entering in at number 22. Missouri holding at number 21, struggled against Miami of Florida, or Miami of Ohio, excuse me. Baylor coming in at number 20, the Baylor Bears. West Virginia jumping up to number 19. They were 24. Florida jumping up from 22 to 18. Michigan State standing pat at 17. Mississippi State coming up number 16 in the polls. The Ohio State Buckeyes at number 15. Arkansas moving up one spot to number 14. Oregon was number 3, dropped all the way down to number 13. South Carolina standing pat at 12. Virginia Tech at number 11. Now here's your top 10 as it stands right now in the college polls. You have Nebraska, Oklahoma State at number 9, Wisconsin at number 8, Texas A&M at number 7, Stanford at number 6, Florida State at number 5, number 4, Boise State, they got 2 votes for number 1, by the way. Alabama at number 3 with 9 votes. LSU at number 2 with 17 votes. And Oklahoma standing pat at number 1 with 32 votes overall. It's going to be a wild, crazy season. There are a lot of good ball clubs out there in college football. We're going to bring it to you every week here on Unsigned. We're going to break down, just like I did, top 25 game after game after game, and we'll give you the updated polls. And also, we'll give you the coaches poll. And then I believe week 5 or week 6, the BCS polls come out. So we'll compare the two, and we'll see how the computers have it ranked versus the coaches. That should be very interesting. Always intriguing conversation to talk when you're talking college football. It's nice to just talk college football instead of all the antics of Miami and Ohio State and North Carolina and Georgia Tech, and the list goes on and on. We've talked about it on the show. You know how it goes. Very, very good stuff. College football, glad to be back. Woo. Hoorah. All right. We're going to take a step back from sports. A lot of information, obviously, there to cover on Unsigned tonight. We're going to go off the path. This is, you know, where we talk about things that are not sports, things that are, you know, music, movies, these type of things. Take a break from the norm here. Off the path tonight, leading story is Marilyn Manson announced the title of his new album this past week called Born Villain. This is a story that I talked about a few months ago that features Shia LaBeouf, the Transformers star, pairing with Marilyn Manson. This started when Shia LaBeouf expressed interest in Manson and approached him to direct his next video. Marilyn Manson, this is a quote from Shia LaBeouf, Marilyn Manson is an indelible figure, LaBeouf told MTV News, speaking exclusively about the collaboration for the first time. He's a big deal to me, and in my childhood, I don't know of a scarier figure in art. In my teenage years, he was the scariest thing in the world. So to be a part of this has really been intriguing. Now, the video, if you haven't seen it, is about 6 minutes in length. It features very graphic scenes, something you would expect from a Manson video. All I can say is it's disturbing, it's interesting, it's erotic, both to the point that I can't look away. It's disgusting and arousing all at the same time. Visually stunning in every sense of the word. Now, the song itself is really what you would expect from Marilyn Manson. It's thundering drums, it's wild, vampiring guitars. Manson's voice completes the dark, high-energy song as he screams "No Reason." It brings you back to a time when Marilyn Manson really was on top of the music world. I look forward to hearing more from this album, Born Villain. No release date has been set. Another band from the 90s, Making a Music Movement, is making its return. A band that really has its own really genre, and that is Primus. The band led by legendary bassist Les Claypool has brought us Jerry the Jerry was a race car driver. They brought us Winona's Big Brown Beaver. They had us sailing the seas of cheese. They will return with a new frizzle fry of sorts. They will jump in from the Tales from the Punch Bowl and grab yourself a can of pork soda. Primus is set to release a new album September the 13th titled Green Naugahyde. It's single titled Tragedy A-Comin'. I listened to the track. I really like it. It's classic Primus. It's what you would expect. If you want more information, you can go to primusville.com. Definitely check that out. Primus' new album coming out next week. Now, you know, we always try to do some funny stories, and this one caught my eye this morning. I figured I'd bring it to you. This is censorship taken to the extreme here. Everybody remembers the Dire Straits song Money for Nothing. It was a 1985 hit. Now, Canadian broadcasters can go back to playing Dire Straits, the 1985 hit, Money for Nothing. Now, get this. The Canadian Broadcast Standards Council, which is the CBSC, announced yesterday the song was pulled from national playlist in January after a single listener complained about the use of the word faggot on newfound radio station CHOZ FM. Money for Nothing was immediately deemed a breach of human rights clauses of the Canadian Association of Broadcasters. Code of Ethics and Equity Patrol Code. The decision caused public outrage in support of the classic song. This is a quote, by the way. It really makes us look silly in the eyes of broadcast community around the world. Writer, broadcaster Alan Cross, a 30-year veteran of the Canadian radio business, tells Rolling Stone, I talked to people from the U.S. and the U.K. and they were like, what is wrong with you people? Don't you get it? It's a joke. It's satire. You didn't understand the context? So the CBSC added that the image, the time and age issue alone does not save a challenged song, and that the Atlantic Regional Panel was correct in its view and inappropriateness of the word for the broadcast Canadian airwaves. Stations have the option to play the original version or any one of the alternate versions that have been available since 1985. Money for Nothing and Chicks for Free. I believe at the end of the song they say, of that classic video, I want my MTV. I want my MTV. Now, here's someone who does not want their MTV, and that's Adam Levine, the singer from Maroon 5. Now, the MTV VMAs, which aired a couple Sundays ago, and the Maroon 5 frontman took to his Twitter account to diss the VMAs and said that the network has a lack of commitment to music. He wrote, F you, VMAs. Levine tells news sources that, you know, him and his fellow musicians feel the same way. They just don't say it. It's public knowledge that it's not a music channel demand anymore, he said, adding that these are simple upsides, just not enough. It's become a huge promotional opportunity for artists, which is a good thing. That is great artists where they're there and if they're represented, but I don't believe that they're being represented. I remember when I was a kid and I worshipped the VMAs, he said. I'd see these incredible moments where the whole world stood still to watch the VMAs, and they'd play music. Nirvana, Pearl Jam, bands I love. There are a lot of memories and moments, and not only that, it's music television. It's a celebration. It's a day that's represented, that the channel that stood for something, he said. It's sad. It's like seeing Tower Records in Los Angeles as a clothing store. I'm just fed up with the whole thing. I can't agree more. I caught a little bit of the VMAs, and I'm not going to cover a lot of them here. And if you like some of that music, that's fine. That you're entitled to that, and you know, more power to you. But I watched about 20 minutes of it, and it was horrendous. And I caught some replays of some other things. It just really wasn't that good. The production value live was horrible. The cues were bad and mistimed. It was horrible live television. The disc jockeys were horrible. They didn't even have a host for the VMAs, so I don't even know what direction or theme they really had there. It just was not good. The best performance was Adele, of course, phenomenal. And Beyonce also had a great performance. Other than that, outside of those two artists, it was really a bust. Now, Adam Levine and his band Maroon 5, other than dissing MTV and the VMAs, have actually been busy with Snapple. They donated $250,000 to Feeding America, a hunger relief charity that feeds people in need across the country. The rockers even donated goggles and lab coats, which are also being auctioned on eBay to help for the cause as well. It's a very good charity. Good to see these guys are you know, instead of, you know, not only, you know, expressing their interest and voicing their opinions via Twitter about MTV and the Video Music Awards, but they're also doing something constructive with their fame, you know, donating to a very good cause and charity. Always good to see when an artist is doing that. Moving on here on Off the Path, my name is Ryan. Again, thanks for hanging out with me. I appreciate it. A lot of stuff to cover tonight. I hope you're having a good time.
Delivering the goods at every freaking turn.
Speaking of delivering the goods, remember when Jack Wright was with the White Stripes? I do. That was a good band. Now, Third Man Records announced yesterday that Jack White will produce a 7-single in which, get this now, the Insane Clown Posse will cover a little-known piece of Mozart called Lick Me Arch. The English translation is Lick Me in the Arse. Now, you can hear this ridiculous song on their website. The single B-sides will be a song called Mountain Girl, in which ICP members Shaggy 2 Dope and Violent J rap about crystal meth, moonshine, and a shotgun wedding. The album will be released on August the 13th.
Delivering the goods at every freaking turn.
Yeah, exactly. Since the opening of Third Man Records, a record store and recording studio in Nashville in 2009, Jack White has produced dozens of singles by different artists ranging from Conan O'Brien, Stephen Colbert, and Jerry Lee Lewis. So, yeah, Jack White and ICP doing Mozart. My first reaction was, why? And then I thought, what did ICP put in Jack White's Faygo? I mean, ICP, dog, we like Mozart and his art, yeah, to my Juggalos and Faygo orange soda forever, homie. Moving on tonight here on Off the Path. You know, I was going to do a full story about the rapper T.I. Being released from jail this week. And I chose to really skip it. I mean, honestly, really, who cares? All you really need to know about this story is this. He got busted for buying 3 machine guns in a grocery store parking lot. I know when I go to Kroger or Publix after I use my store card and save some money, I look for the best deal on automatic weapons I can find. Paper, plastic's not even an option anymore anyways. So to round out this story, makes it even better, VH1 reality series is giving him a reality show slated for 10 episodes. I see quality programming is on the full schedule for VH1. I would call this a TI. You can fill in the T and I with whatever you would like. I'm going to fill it in with the acronym that is totally irrelevant. Moving on off the path tonight, we have the top movies at the box office. Not a real huge weekend for movies, but we'll start from number 10. We'll work our way up to the top. Number 10, The Smurfs at $4 million. Unbelievable, they're still in the top 10. Spy Kids and The Name of the World at $4.6 million. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark at $4.9 million. Our Idiot Brother, which looks like a hilarious film, $5.1 million. Columbiana, $7.4 million. Rise of the Planet of the Apes, still in the top 5, $7.8 million. Shark Knight 3D, $8.6 million. Apollo 18, which looks to be a very good film, $8.7 million, sci-fi thriller. The movie The Debt, $9.6 million. And the number one film of the holiday weekend, the movie The Help at $14.2 million. I tell you what, you look at those numbers compared to what we had through the summer, obviously, you know, summer movie series, it's pretty much obviously at an end at this point looking at those numbers where we've had, you know, 50, 60, 40, you know, 40, 50, 60 million week in and week out at multiple movies. So for the top movie to only gross 14 million, really a down weekend. A lot of people soaking in the last bits of summer, it looks like, this holiday weekend. Now, even though, again, not a big session for movies this past weekend, here's some movies coming out in the next week or two I really think you're going to be interested in. The movie Contagion, which comes out this Friday. Great cast we've talked about on the show. Another movie that I just happened to find out about is called Killer Elite. It comes out like September the 23rd. That features action-packed cast of Clive Owen, Jason Statham, and Robert De Niro. Very action-packed film. Look forward to seeing that. Thus concludes our section of Off the Path.
Bring me a challenge, somebody.
Bring me a challenge. That leads me right in to our Major League Baseball recap. All season it's really been competitive. We break down the divisions. We'll start with the American League East. New York Yankees have a 2.5 lead. They've won 8 of their last 10. Really swinging the bat well. The Red Sox struggling. They have some injuries on the pitching side. But again, both those teams are going to be in the playoffs. Just matter who wins the division. Looks like the Yankees, only about 20 games left in the season. So it'll be interesting to see if the Red Sox can pull in and get that pennant. But either way, you're looking at both these teams either, you know, basically being in the playoffs, one of them being the wild card in the American League. Now, races that have been very, very close that really aren't close anymore. You look at the American League Central. You have the Detroit Tigers really creating some distance against the Cleveland Indians. They had a big series that kicked off yesterday. The Indians lose that series. The Tigers now have a 7.5 game lead. I don't see the Indians gaining that ground. They have a really tough road schedule on the back end of the season. The American League West, really the only division right now that's really in question. The Rangers haven't played great ball of late. They still lead the division 2.5 games over the Los Angeles Angels. Angels have great pitching. They find a way to swing the bat some more. They might be able to squeak the Rangers out of that spot. But I anticipate the Rangers to seal up that division and win the pennant for the AL West. Moving to the National League, I think the playoffs are pretty much set here at this point. You have the Philadelphia Phillies with the best record in baseball. You have the Atlanta Braves. Really, I mean, they're playing almost 600 baseball. They're still 8.5 games back. That tells you how good the Phillies are at 89-48. And the Braves at 82-58. A really great season playing nearly 600 baseball. They are going to be a very tough wild card. You look at the National League Central, the Milwaukee Brewers with a 10.5 game lead. They've won 7 out of their last 10. They're 85-57. I don't see them turning back. They're basically playing 600 baseball as well. They're going to have that division sewn up. The Cardinals have played good, just not good enough. It's a very tough division. I mean, you got, you know, the Pirates who fizzled, the Reds who kind of woken up, but they just dug themselves too big of a hole, and the Cardinals at 10.5 games out, just don't see them catching up with only 20-some-odd games left in the season. And the defending champion, San Francisco Giants, are slipping farther and farther out of the playoffs. Now 7 games back from the Arizona Diamondbacks, who have that division. I think they're going to win the division. They've won 9 out of their last 10. They have just been on a tear of late. And really, a lot of these teams in the National League can swing the bat. These guys are solid pitching. National League playoffs come October is going to be very exciting to watch. Who comes out of there? I think the Phillies will, but I think it's going to be very entertaining baseball. If you're a baseball fan, National League is very good stuff. And it concludes our Major League Baseball recap. Now, moving on, this is a story I did about 3 weeks ago. I called it What the Puck. I'm going to title this What the Puck 2. Now, again, this is a story about an amazing shot with a hockey puck sliding in a tiny hole from center ice for a $50,000 prize. But the penalty was called on a Minnesota boy who made the shot at a charity event because his twin brother should have been the one wielding the stick. Now, the company that insured the event, which is Odds On Promotions out of Reno, Nevada, said Wednesday that due to contractual breaches and legal implications, in quotations, it was unable to pay the claim. Instead, the company said it will donate $20,000 to Youth Hockey Minnesota in the boys' names. Now, the 11-year-old Nate Smith, who hit the puck shot, which was a hole-in-one, an 89-feet shot, hit the shot at an event in Minnesota on August 11th in Faribault, Minnesota. Both Nate and his identical twin, Nick, whose raffle ticket was won, ends up getting it. Now, we talked about this show and about the father, basically said, well, you know, I want to be honest and come forward and let them know that, you know, that wasn't the right son who made the shot, and even though no one knew because they're identical twins. Nobody even knew. Now, this is a quote from Mark Gillimartin from Odds On Promotions. We greatly respect the eventual honesty of the Smith family, Mark Gilliman said, again, president of Odds On Promotions, in his news release. Although we're unable to pay the claim to Nate's incredible shot, we are confident our donation will foster a positive environment for present and future youth hockey in Minnesota. I bet you he really is really grateful. They got off the hook for 50 G's, and they get to make a tax-deductible donation of $20,000, a win-win for a promotional side, no doubt about it. Now, I understand that, you know, the kid and the father, you know, was trying to make and teach a very good lesson in being fair and honest. Now, I get that part. I really do. But no one at the event knew that the brothers had switched. I would have kept the $50,000 and made a donation on my own to the youth league, and still been able to keep about $15,000 to $20,000. That'd be a nice boost from my kids' college fund. So that way, you get to teach them a lesson that you can win out over corporate promotions. You could still make a donation and make a donation to, you know, your kids' education, and make a donation to the community as well. I mean, the promotion company is none the wiser. You help the youth in the area, and you also benefit your own. Now, maybe I'm wrong in this. I don't know. But that's just the way I would have gone about it. I mean, you teach a good lesson. I don't know if that's the way to go. What do you think, Mike? How do you feel about the what the puck to here?
I disagree with it. And I also disagree with how the how it was worded, the eventual honesty. I mean, it's basically like stating, oh, you know, he finally came around and decided to tell the truth. And I think really in honesty, if you can't give the money to the family, instead of doing a, what was that, 40% of the actual winnings? Was 50,000 yep. was the original, right? And they went 20,000?
Yep.
Hey, yes. if they gave out the 50,000 to a charity, I'd be fine with it. I'd say, you know what? They were willing to pay no matter what. Yes, you know, unfortunately, the wrong person went there and shot it, but we're still willing to give the money and we're going to give it to a good cause. If they did that, I would say, hey, I'm fine with it. But interjecting the word eventual into the statement and then only chilling out 40%, come on, give me a break.
No, I completely agree. And we're not talking, I mean, we're talking an 11-year-old kid here. So it's not like this is some big, huge coup that these kids drawn up. I mean, we're talking about a slap shot on a hockey rink, 89 feet. So, I mean, we're talking an 11-year-old kid on a lucky shot. So, I mean, you know, if they wouldn't have said anything, nobody would have known the wiser, and they could have won the 50 grand and made their own donation and kept some of the money. When I said, you know what, use the money for their kids' college fund in this economy in this day and age, you know, why not? That's what I would have done. Moving on tonight here on Off the Path, another story that I covered, this is probably about a month ago we covered this, double amputee Oscar Pistorius saw his world 400-meter dream come to an end after defending champion LaShawn Merritt eased into the world championship finals just a month coming after his drug ban. Now, double amputee Oscar Pistorius gave it a run at the world championships. Pistorius, the controversial South African runner known as Blade Runner for his carbon fiber prosthetic running blades, was making history as the very first amputee to compete in the Worlds. He received a huge cheer from the South Korean crowd and mouthed thank you to the camera as he lined up for the race. Now, he did not finish very well. You know, his time was 46.19 seconds. He did finish last in the semifinals, but he finished 22nd out of 24 runners in the world. I don't consider that a failure. The fact that he even made it to the Worlds is amazing. The fact that he finished 22 out of the top 24 runners in the world is absolutely amazing. Oscar Pistorius gives the unsigned clap of the night. It's a great story. This guy has overcome so much. He lost his legs when he was 11 months old. He has the carbon fiber prosthetic limbs and is running in the world championships. Unbelievable. Stories like that are something that you just really like to see and hear. And, you know, we covered it about a month ago. I wanted to give an update on, you know, on the runner. Congratulations to him for, you know, giving it a good showing at the World Championships. Now, from one runner to another. Now, this happened in Lowell, Michigan. A 50-mile run is an incredible challenge. There's no doubt about it. I would never dare run 50 miles at one time. Try doing it with your jaw wired shut. Yeah. Exactly. Brandon Molnix of Lowell, Western Michigan, accomplished the feat last weekend when he competed in North Country trial run at the Manistee National Forest. He told the National News in Greenville that he consumed only liquid nutrition while running for more than 12 hours. As an experienced marathon runner, I wanted to challenge the community by doing something extreme, Molnix said. Last year, I was in the race, and I had to quit 25 miles into the race due to overheating. The chances of me finishing this year were even less, but I liked the challenge. Molnix, 32 years old and still recovering from a car accident he had in February, he had a major fracture on the right side of his jaw that didn't heal, and a plate holding the jaw together was put in by doctors 10 days before the race, thus wiring his jaw shut. The race director, Chris Nichols, said this past Saturday that he had more than 500 runners from 29 different states and also in Canada. The wired jaw certainly poses a challenge for Brandon, Nichols said. when you're running a race anything above a marathon, you have to make sure that you're eating substance. Molnick said that dozens of people pledged food to food pantries in his effort. He raised one food item for every mile ran. Over 3,000 non-perishable food items will be donated to communities across Michigan and as far away as Texas. He said, I just couldn't let people go hungry just because I was hurting. He said, I didn't even take a rest on the weekend. Molnix went and ran a 5K on Sunday in Grand Rapids. Absolutely tremendous story when you're talking about this guy ran 50 miles with his jaw wired shut. And to boot, got a bunch of people to sponsor him and donate a bunch of money to food pantries across the United States and Michigan as well. Very good story, one to pass that on to you. That also gets the unsigned clap of the night. Two really good back-to-back stories of guys who, you know, accomplishing great feats. Very, very good stuff.
Bring me a challenge, somebody.
Yeah, I'll bring you a challenge. How about run 50 miles with your jaw wired shut?
Delivering the goods at every freaking turn.
No doubt about it. Hey, who's ready for some football? That's right. NFL season, the opener is this week, this weekend. NFL regular season games that actually matter start. Now, what we're going to do here on Unsigned, I'm going to go ahead and I'll break down every game for you every week, and we'll give you score updates and those type of things and give you stats and numbers like we always do with any other sport. But I also want to do a pigskin pick 'em. I'm going to go ahead and start this week, and I also have someone else who's going to participate with us. Now, I'm going to start with my picks, and we'll keep a tally through the season. I think, Mike, you're going to get on this on next week. Is that right?
Yeah, I'll give it my best, man. I'll give it a good run.
Okay, so Mike is going to get on the pigskin pick 'em starting next week. We'll keep a record, and let's hope that I don't get my butt kicked. But I tell you what we're going to do is we'll start off with really the game that's going to lead off the season. That's their returning champions, the Green Bay Packers, taking on the champions from 2 years ago, the New Orleans Saints. Now, the Packers, they have the 3-4 defense under Don Capers. That's going to propose an issue for Drew Brees. The Packers also have returning running back Ryan Grant against the suspect defensive line of the Saints. I'm taking the Packers in this one at Lambeau Field. Now, we're heading into the list of Sunday games. We have the Battle of Ohio starting early this year. The Cincinnati Bengals against the Cleveland Browns. That is in Cleveland. You have new head coach Pat Shurmur, led by second-year quarterback Colt McCoy, and the new transition from the 3-4 scheme on defense to the 4-3 scheme. I'm going to take the Browns in this one. I don't think it's necessarily going to be a candid can classic. I think it could be a little sloppy. A lot of young players on both sides of the ball here for each team, but I think the Browns at home, the fans are ready for a winner. I think Colt McCoy is the real deal. The Browns get a season opener win. Now, heading to the Detroit Lions and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is in Tampa. A lot of people are favoring the Lions this year. I tell you what, don't be surprised about Tampa Bay. As you know, breakout quarterback Josh Freeman had a breakout season last year. I think he's even going to do better this year in that system. I think Josh Freeman, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, fire the cannons in Tampa, baby. They're going to score some touchdowns on that Lions secondary. I'd taken the Buccaneers in that one. Now, here's an interesting one. You have the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, Matt Castle was a little banged up. He's got a rib issue. I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills heading to Arrowhead and stealing a W from the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that, you know, some of the questions they have at quarterback and, you know, I think the play calling with Charlie Weiss not being there is going to be an issue. I'm taking the Bills in that one. You have the Atlanta Falcons and the Chicago Bears, da Bears. I tell you what, I don't think this is going to be a pretty win for the Falcons by any means. I think that their much improved defensive line is going to expose the Bears' suspect offensive line. The Falcons win in a tight one. Now, here's a head-scratcher game here. Originally, when I saw this game until the news broke today, I had the Jaguars. So you have the Tennessee Titans heading to Jacksonville, division game. This really could go either way. I think it's going to be a sloppy ball game on both sides. The Jaguars just releasing their starting quarterback, David Garrard, 5 days before the season starts, does pose an issue. I'm going to take the Titans in this one over the Jaguars. I think if Garrard's there, I think they find a way to win it. But I'm going to take the Titans. I think it's going to be a sloppy ball game, but I'm going to take the Titans. Eagles taking their dream team to St. Louis Mike Vick and company, I think, on that fast track in St. Louis are going to get it rolling in their home opener, and they're going to spoil the home opener for the St. Louis Rams, taking the Eagles in that one. We have the Indianapolis Colts of Tennessee, the Houston Texans. No Manning, no problem. I think the Texans have a lot to prove on the defensive side of the ball, and I think this is going to be a good test. But I think the Colts win, even without Peyton Manning. I think it's going to be an emotional charge team. They're going to go to Houston, division rival, and they're going to get the W in Houston. Now, here's one. This is the battle of who hits harder. Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Ravens, AFC North collision course. The Ravens and Steelers, it's going to be a hard fought, kick in the pants kind of game, no doubt about it, when these two get together. It's going to set the tone for the AFC North, but I think the Ravens win in a close one. Now, a couple other games we're going to cover. We have the Minnesota Vikings and the San Diego Chargers. I'm taking San Diego. I think Phillip Rivers and the Chargers are going to get off to an early start. Yes, I said it. They're going to get off to an early start, and they're going to roll over the Vikings. Donovan McNabb is going to have a rough way. I think the Vikings, even though they got Adrian Peterson, I think the Chargers is too much on both sides of the ball, and Phillip Rivers is going to be an MVP candidate. I'm saying it right now. Phillip Rivers is going to be the MVP hunt this year. You have the Seattle Seahawks taking on the San Francisco 49ers and probably the weakest division in football. We talked a couple weeks ago. Now, I think this game is really going to be hard to watch. I really do, but I'm going to take the 49ers in a squeaker. Squeaker, squeaker. New York Giants and the Washington Redskins. Yes, the Redskins said Rex Grossman is going to be their quarterback. The Giants have issues in the secondary, but both teams can really run the ball. This is a classic power matchup against the Giants and the Redskins. I think the Giants get it done in D.C. The Carolina Panthers versus the Arizona Cardinals. This is Cam Newton's first ever start as a pro against the Arizona Cardinals. Sorry, Cam, but you can't buy wins in the NFL. Arizona Cardinals win big in Carolina. Now you have the Dallas Cowboys heading to the Meadowlands to take on the Jets. This might not make a lot of people in New York happy, but I can't believe that I'm actually picking the Cowboys here, but I am. I think the Cowboys go to the Meadowlands and grind out a win. And that will bring the talk of the week, where can the Jets bounce back after a disappointing week one? You know you're going to hear it on ESPN. They're going to talk about it, but I'm saying here, Cowboys upset Jets in their home opener. Now we go to a double edition on Monday night. We have the New England Patriots taking on the Miami Dolphins in Miami. I think the Pats are going to get up there an early start. Now the Dolphins at home, it won't be easy. I think, with their defense that the Dolphins can play, I think the Patriots just wear them down. Patriots win, end up blowing it out late in that game on Monday night. And then you have the Raiders, Broncos, classic AFC West showdown. Raiders head to once what was called Mile High Stadium to take on the Broncos. Two teams that have struggled a bunch in recent years. I think this is going to be, again, your classic hard-fought AFC West battle. I expect the Broncos to come out with a win. And that has been your Pigskin Pick'ems. And I believe we have a caller.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Sean.
Yes. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Thanks for calling in. I actually just gave my Pigskin Pick'ems for this week. You want to get in on this?
Yes, I do.
All right. Why don't you go ahead and give me the rundown, man? Let me hear what you got.
First for the Thursday night game, I went with you. I like Green Bay. Too much defense there. I also went with Baltimore. I didn't hear your pick on the Atlanta-Chicago game. I took Atlanta in that one.
I also took Atlanta in that one as well.
The Battle of Ohio ought to be ugly, but you got to go with the Brownies.
Yeah.
Then Indianapolis-Houston, no Manning. Indy's in a lot of trouble. Took Houston. Tennessee and Jacksonville. I don't know. I don't think anybody would want to win that game, but I took Tennessee. Took Kansas City at home. Castle's beat up, but I think Jamal Charles is going to have a big game. I took Philly on the road at St. Louis. I took Detroit on the road to Tampa Bay, just because that's everybody's picking Detroit. I probably shouldn't have took that one. But I took Arizona, San Diego, San Francisco, took the Giants. Won against you, I took the Jets at home in the season opener. And I like New England on Monday night and Denver on Monday night.
Gotcha. Yeah, we got a couple different ones. I'm taking the Colts in Houston. I think that the Colts will come out and be emotionally charged. And I think that in Tennessee, I think they used to call him Scary Collins instead of Kerry Collins, because you never knew whether or not what Collins you were going to get, you know. So I think they get good Kerry Collins, and they find a way. I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think they're going to have to run Joseph Addai a whole lot. And I don't know if he's going to hold up for a whole season, but I think the Colts make a statement and get a win. But I think it's going to be a long year without Manning. But I think the Texans win that division. I picked them to win the division, but I think they just kind of have a hiccup in week one. I'm with you on the Lions thing. I'm interested in why everybody's picking Detroit. I know they got the big defense and Stafford's there, and you got Calvin Johnson, but I really think Tampa Bay is going to be a handful this year with Josh Freeman and company. I think that's an up-and-coming team. That's going to be a fun game to watch, I think. That might be the best game of the week.
It could be, yeah. Freeman's very good. They got a good young receiving core. That Blunt kid runs the ball well. You got a lot of weapons there. Kellen Winslow.
Yeah, Winslow is still a viable option at tight end. I mean, he's a tough cover. So some good picks, Sean. What we'll do is I'll run through the video and we'll compare how we do next week. And, how about you come back next week? We do some more picks, man.
Sounds good, buddy.
All right, man. Hey, thanks for calling in. Take care, man.
All right, bye.
So that is one of our listeners, Sean, getting in on the Pigskin Pick'em. I also have an email here as well from – Bosley, Morris Bosley Racing. They wanted to get in. They also, I'm giving a plug to Morris Bosley Racing. Check them out on Facebook. They're also getting in on their Pigskin Pick'ems as well. This is where we're at right now. They have New Orleans and Green Bay. They have New Orleans. Atlanta versus Chicago. They have Chicago. Now, I know Bosley, there's a big Bears fan, so no shocker there. Cincinnati at Cleveland. We have Cleveland. Buffalo at Kansas City, they're taking KC. Philadelphia at St. Louis, taking Philly. Detroit and Tampa Bay, taking Detroit. Tennessee at Jacksonville, taking Tennessee. Pittsburgh at Baltimore, taking Baltimore. Indianapolis at Houston, taking Houston. Giants at Washington, taking Washington. Interesting. Seattle at San Francisco, taking Seattle. Minnesota at San Diego, taking San Diego. Carolina at Arizona, taking Arizona. I think that might be the lock of the week right there. I don't think anybody thinks Carolina is going to win that ballgame. We have Dallas taking on the Jets, the Meadowlands, taking the Jets in that one. And New England versus the Dolphins on Monday night. You got Miami. Oakland at Denver, taking Denver. Those are your Pigskin Pick'ems for Morris Bosley Racing. Again, check them out on Facebook. Those are your Pigskin Pick'ems. We'll compare how I do against Sean and Morris Bosley Racing, and then we'll get Mike involved next week on the Pigskin Pick'em. We'll do this every week. And if you would like to get in on some week on the show, get a hold of me, Ryan_unsigned on Twitter. Get a hold of me there, and let me know if you want to give a call in and, challenge the Pigskin Pick'em for the week. We'd definitely welcome the challenge.
Bring me a challenge, somebody.
Bring me a challenge. I'm a Pigskin Pick'em winner.
Delivering the goods at every frickin' turn.
That's been your NFL breakdown. Now, I got some boxing news. I've made no bones about it. I'm a huge boxing fan, and there's a big match coming up this Saturday I want to let you know about. This takes place in Poland. Heavyweight champion Vitaly Klitschko will take on Tomasz Adamek this September 10th, Saturday night on HBO. Now, this is for the WBC heavyweight title. Now, Tomasz Adamek has a pro record of 44-1 and is a former light heavyweight champion and is known for his sturdy chin. This fight will take place in his homeland of Poland Saturday night on HBO. Look for that fight. It's going to be very, very I think it's going to be very competitive. I think Klitschko is finally, hopefully, the heavyweight division after the debacle in Germany with David Haye. What a disaster that was. But hopefully this Adamek, I think, is a very solid boxer, professional record of 44-1, moving up in weight. Maybe a guy who can take a beating and push Klitschko to 12 rounds. You know, I guess that's what it takes. We need someone to fight one of the Klitschko's who can take a beating. Anybody interested? That's what boxing has come down to in the last 10 years. How many punches can you take from a Klitschko? It's like the old owl one. How many licks does it take from a Tootsie Pop? How many Ray jabs can you take from a Klitschko? Can you go 12 rounds? We'll find out Saturday night. Vladimir Klitschko against Tomasz Adamek. That should be a good one in Poland. Now, here's a boxing story that's you just can't make this stuff up. You really can't. I mean,
just sit back and enjoy the show.
Yeah, this is one of those you just have to sit back and go, really? Honestly? But no, this is a good one. Oscar De La Hoya, legendary Oscar De La Hoya, shelled out a whopping $20 million to keep a model quiet over a photo shoot that saw the Golden Boy dressed in high heels, fishnet stockings, and frilly lingerie. The New York Post reported this this past Thursday, citing resources. The newspaper published the drag photos of De La Hoya frolicking around with Siberian knockout Melina Dravinal in November of 07. I tell you what, no reason to be ashamed if you've seen a picture of this Siberian model, Melina. She is a knockout, no doubt about it. Now, after which the boxer insisted that the pictures were frauds. Now, De La Hoya, at 38, finally admitted the truth in a remarkable Spanish-language interview on Univision last Tuesday, which also saw the fighter say that he had contemplated suicide while battling alcohol and drug addiction. De La Hoya said that he was high on booze and cocaine when the photos were snapped. After De La Hoya launched the campaign to discredit the wild images, Dravno, she filed a federal lawsuit against him, claiming that his handlers dubbed her into agreeing the photos that were actually manipulated were actually real. They settled the lawsuit out of court, of course, and both sides claimed in citing a confidentiality agreement. But a courthouse sources confirmed Wednesday that De La Hoya did pay out $20 million to buy her silence, and I believe he also bought back the high heels, the lingerie, and the fishnets as well. You know, why not, right? I mean, if you're paying $20 million, you might as well get all the product, right? You might as well get the photos, the fishnets, and everything, and move it on. Golden Boy Productions, Oscar De La Hoya. There you go. Again, you can't make this stuff up. We've done a lot of funny stories. Now, the thing about him contemplating suicide stuff is, you know, that's neither here nor there. I mean, you know, obviously he didn't. You know, he's had a very successful career as a boxer. But, you know, and you're in the public eye like that, you know, and you run a big-time promotional company for boxing. And, you know, yeah, you're dating a supermodel. Maybe you get wrapped into it. But, you know, you got to make sure you seize those photos, right? You just can't let those photos go anywhere, you know? Oscar De La Hoya. I have never worn panties. Those aren't my panties. I have never worn panties. I haven't. Shells out $20 million. I want my panties back and my fishnets. very, very good stuff. Hey, this is Ryan Unsigned. That's all I've got for you tonight. I want to thank you for joining me as always. Shout out to at Cooker Carolyn on Twitter. Again, at Cooker Carolyn, follow her. Her cookbook, over 45 recipes, all kinds of great things on there. So definitely check her out if you're interested in obtaining a copy of the cookbook. Also, credit to Mike, founder of Omnis TV. Wonderful job as always. Shout out to our caller, Sean, and also Morris Bosley Racing. Shout out to them as well. My name is Ryan. This has been Unsigned. It seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody. Take care.